So loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the sound of love.
Is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in his word that in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
Wonderful assembly of ministers in this pulpit and throughout the pew, throughout the sanctuary, to all of officers and members of this body and to all of you, my father's children, we bid you good morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this first Sunday in September, the Lord has and is good to us. And we're all evidence of the power and the majesty and the covering of God. Amen. It is another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. I don't know about you today, but it's another day's journey, but we are glad about it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He is still God. He is still worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be reverenced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today for the believer, for the true believer, and there's a word for the non-believer to become a believer, so that the word will make sense to you on today as well. There's a word coming today from the 121st number of the Psalm, Psalm number 121. If you'll stand with us for the reading of God's word, as we go and see, unpack what the Lord wants to say to his people on this day. Glory to God. So glad to see you in the house of the Lord on this Labor Day weekend. We're going to do our best to get you out so you can marinate your brisket and your ribs and get everything together, because I know you and y'all know me. So we're going to do this, and we're going to be out your hair in just a little while. Amen. Psalm number 121. Glory to God. Amen. Are we there? Amen. We solicit your true prayers for the preacher on this day. Amen. Word says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Would you look to someone to your left or right and say to them, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
You're in good hands.
In good
That's
hands.
The wrong neighbor. That's the wrong neighbor. Find you another neighbor, and you tell that neighbor, look them in the eye and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
I've got good news for you today. You're in good hands. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. You are in good hands. It was the year 1950. All-state executive Davis Wells has an infant child who's very ill, very sick, and trying to figure out what's the best treatment for his child. His wife says to him, honey, don't worry. We're in good hands with this doctor. For some reason, that comforted this executive, business executive. Later on in that year, he was in a meeting. Child got better. He was in a meeting trying to prepare a slogan for Allstate. How do we let our customers know that they can trust us? Wells Davis looks back over the previous year and sees his own personal testimony, his own personal life, that when you start putting things in the right hands, there are some things you don't have to worry about. Thus giving him the slogan that is now in the Slogan Hall of Fame, that you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, may I announce to you this morning that I cannot offer you a package, insurance package of Allstate. But what I can tell you, if anybody who knows anything about my God, who's had any kind of experience with him, who's ever had a walk with him or a talk with him, may I give a word of encouragement to you and let you know that you're in good hands with the Lord God Almighty. His hands are secure. His hands are safe. He never drops you. Even when you try to jump out, he catches you. Even when you don't want to be in his hands, he keeps you in his hands. It's something about the hands of God that even though you go through circumstances, you still can thank him that you're safe. He never's late on picking you up. He's never late on checking in on you. He's always on time on doing what he needs to do for you. All I want you to know today is that you're in good hands. In a world that we're living in, a world that seems to be sinking fast, things that we're losing faith in, things that we're losing hope in, people who have let us down, jobs that are leaving us, money that is falling out of our pocket, I've got good news today in letting you know that when you belong to the Lord God Almighty, you are indeed in good hands. And all I need is about seven people, I'll make number eight, who can give God glory on this Sunday morning in knowing that even though I'm going through life, I'm dealing with life, I will give him glory. Let him know that I appreciate that I'm in his hands. For in his hands, I'm safer than I've ever been before. You're in good hands. And don't you let any devil in hell, don't you let any circumstance, don't you let any problem cause you to forget about whose hands you're in. Because when he seals you with the seal of redemption. No devil in hell can pry you out of God's hands, for his hands are powerful enough to get rid of anything that's trying to cause you trouble. Glory to God. You ought to tell yourself real quick, remind yourself, I'm in his hands.
Yes, Lord, you may be going through some stuff. You may be feeling it. You may be experiencing it. But you ought to at least thank God today that you are in his hand. And can I give you good news? When you're in his hands, you're his responsibility. Oh, Lord have mercy. You missed your shout moment right there. When you belong, see, when you keep doing your own thing, you're responsible for your own happiness. But when you put your life, your will, your way, your thoughts, your energy into his hands, now it's no longer your responsibility. It's his job to be God over your life. Some of y'all are thinking that I ain't got to be God over my life. I've got a father somewhere. He sits high, he lives low, he guides my feet wherever I go. When I do not understand, I've got a father. It's Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Lord have mercy. Somebody in this house ought to appreciate your coverage. Anybody feel a covering over your life right now? Even though it's hot right now, I'm still covered. I'm going through, but I'm covered. Can you kind of see it's all right anyhow? Come on, it's okay to trust him when you're in his hand. It's all right to trust him. You're in his hand. Psalm 121. Psalm 120 through 134, these 15 songs are called songs of ascent. It's believed that these psalms were sung by pilgrims who were in Babylonian captivity and made their way out to Jerusalem. Or for the pilgrims who celebrated on their way to Jerusalem, the three annual feasts, Pentecost, Passover, and Tabernacles. In other words, it's people, God's people, who sing these songs of encouragement dealing with life on their way to church. You see, Jerusalem is the holy city. It's fine once you get to Jerusalem. But there's a little bit of a journey called life that you and I got to live on our way to the placing of God. So that's why you don't really have time when you get to the house to be down, depressed, and destitute, because you've dealt with enough on your way here. So if the Lord allows you to make it here, you ought to be able to let your hair down, lift holy hands, stand on your feet, and shout hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Because you deal with enough life throughout the week. If his grace was good enough to allow you to be in his house, you are not worried about what happened Tuesday, because his grace brought you through Tuesday. You see Sunday morning. Why are you still crying over Wednesday night? Why are you still crying over Thursday evening? It's Sunday morning. It's the dawn of a new day. He brought you back to his house. Yeah. Others thought that this was a word. These songs were written by Hezekiah, many believe. King Hezekiah, who was sick, gravely sick unto death, but he prayed rather than give up. He got so sick, he turned his face to the wall. But then he prayed to God, and he reminded himself of how good God had been and some of the promises God made to him, and God gave him 15 more years. Some say that these 15 songs have something to do with the 15 steps to the court of Israel. It really doesn't matter where it comes from. Doesn't matter really where the origin is. All we know is that these are songs that the people of God got to start singing to themselves to encourage yourself while you are walking through this journey called life. Because I want to be honest with you this morning that life can sometimes be hurtful.
Life can sometimes be very difficult. Life can take some ups and downs. Sometimes you can be in a valley right after you left a mountain. Something about life, it got a lot of twists and turns. Something about the Christian life is like a roller coaster. You get one thing done, and here comes something else. It feels like when it rains that it pours. If you're not careful, you'll get so caught up with life's circumstances that you'll forget about the God who lets you experience and survive and overcome the circumstances. I'm looking at about 20 people right now who are just bent down, who are just beat down with life. Life done whipped you. Health done whipped you. Doctors done whipped you. Finances done whipped you. But you have forgotten about the God that kept you through it. And all God wants to let you know today is don't forget about whose hands you're in.
He says to you today, when you're in good hands, you start acting different than the world acts. Now, this is not just for you to know that you're in good hands, but you got to start living. It's not good enough anymore to know you're in good hands. You got to live like you're in good hands. In other words, you got to stop existing. You got to just stop getting up in the morning and washing your face and brushing your teeth and combing your hair and going to work, putting in your time, cooking, going to eat and going to bed and try again another day. It's time for some businesses to get started. It's time for entrepreneurial spirit to get going. It's time for the people of God to be elevated. It's time for us to have new dreams. It's time for us to educate our children, because if God has called for us to live, why are you waiting on the governor? Why are you waiting on the president? Why are you waiting on the mayor? Why are you waiting on the council? We belong to God. We are in his hands. We ain't in no man's hands. We're in God's hands. Tell somebody next to you, live, 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 live. Because whether you live or not, you go deal with life. So you might as well live. You can hide from life all you want. You go run into life hiding from it. Well, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fall. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up 8. What makes you think you ain't going to fall at least once? The danger is not in falling. The danger is staying there, laying down, taking it. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of taking every dagger, taking every bullet, taking every blow the enemy gives me. I'm ready to start fighting back. I'm ready to put my head in the ring. I'm tired of just existing. I want to live in the power of God. Well, how can you... When you're in good hands, you act different. I said, you're kind of strange. When you know you're in good hands and you live like you're in good hands, you crazy. You ever had good insurance? You just go to the doctor, ain't nothing wrong? It's because you know your insurance gonna cover your checkup. All God's trying to tell you is you can afford to take some chances in life, because when you're in his hand, he gonna cover you. It's some stuff that God people don't get to experience, that the world folk get to experience, all because you trust him to take a chance. You act different. Why do you act different? Number one, because you recognize that he's the answer to your problem. I said you recognize that he's the answer to your problem. Look at verse number one. Verse number one is a dialogue. For so long, we've read this scripture, we read it at funerals, and we tell people that it's going to be all right. Keep lifting up your eyes to the hills. It's going to be all right. And that is true. But I really want to break this text down to make sure you got understanding about what the Lord is saying to you about being in his hands. Listen, the travelers, the pilgrims, have dealt with life. This is a mountainous region, also having valleys. You with me? They're traveling, trying to get to Jerusalem, but they ain't got there yet. And on their way to Jerusalem, they deal with the enemy, the possibility of attack from the enemy, folk walking with them they can't trust. Sound kind of familiar? You don't know which way to go. Sometimes it's hot in day, and it's cold at night. Lord have mercy. Can't find any place where it seems to be comfortable. You look up, you look around, you don't see anything. You look back, no, you sure enough can't go back. You look ahead, you don't see anything. So now all you're left to do is look up. That's somebody's story right now who's looking at me. You don't look to the side, nothing there. You don't look to that side, nothing there. You scared to look back because you know ain't nothing there because that's where you came from. You look ahead, you see something bigger than you. Ain't nowhere else left for you to look but up. Y'all need to be real in the church this morning. Stop pretending, though, you ain't never had to look up. See, most of us had to look up after we looked everywhere else. But God is calling for people who will start looking up first. Stop looking around, then look up. Start looking up, then you got to worry about what's around you. Some stuff you wouldn't know going on in your life if you would learn how to look up. You're paying attention to the wrong stuff. Because at the mountain is Jerusalem. It's the mountain. Now, the hope is not in the mountain. The hope is in the God who they believe was there. So the dialogue, the conversation takes place. He makes a statement. I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills. This is how verse 1 really goes. I'm looking up to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's actually a question. This is not a statement. It is a question being asked saying, I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills. So where my help supposed to come from? Y'all with me? That's your life every day. When you look up, now what? In other words, for you on this walk with the Lord, you are asking God today, many of you, now what? I'm leaving all this mess. I'm leaving the dope. I'm leaving stupid people alone. I'm going to give a new life. I'm looking up to you. Now what? You better be real with yourself and let God help you today. You are going to trust him to leave some stuff alone. You are coming out of that misery. You're coming out of that depression. You're going to choose for the first time in your life to truly not just glance up, but you're going to really look up. But you want to know where your help comes from. If I look up, what's going to happen? If I choose Jesus, what's going to happen? If I choose holiness, what's going to happen? If I choose righteousness, what's going to happen? If I choose to tithe, what's going to happen? If I choose to pray more, what's going to happen? If I choose to be in Bible study more, what's going to happen? What's going to be the big point of me looking up? How would looking up be any different than me looking around? Yeah, there you are, there you are. What's the difference between looking up and looking around? I've seen mountains before. I've seen hills before. I've seen people before. But it's something about looking up, you're going to see something you ain't never seen before. And so he answers the question, where your help come from? Your help cometh from the Lord. In other words, he's giving you the answer to your problem. The Lord is the answer to your problem. Hebrew Adonai, giving sense of his governing ability, his supreme authority. Anytime you see the word Lord, it's talking about his authority. You ought to be encouraged every time you see the word Lord, because it lets you know that even though it's bigger than you, it ain't bigger than him. Your hands can't handle it, but it's bigger than him. Why? Because he's the answer. So you've got to stop praying the problem and start praying the answer. I'm in the Bible. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From which cometh my help? It's a question. My help cometh from the Lord. Why? Because he made heaven. Now, deep people not go get this. But I'm going to be honest and say that regardless of some stuff I may say or do sometime, I do live on earth. There are some things I say that make me wonder. Some things I think that made me wonder, am I on earth? But I do recognize that most of the time,
I'm on earth. See, y'all don't want to be real. Y'all don't want to mention y'all little out-of-world moments. But I can be honest and say, I have moments where I wonder, what? But I'm living on earth. A few of y'all are as well with me, living on earth with me. I can't bother all y'all. Some of y'all ain't living on earth. But I'm going to talk about me, and a few folks will say, I'm with you, preacher, that we're living on earth. Heaven is the celestial area above the clouds. And then your God, your Lord, made heaven and earth. So everything I'm dealing with on earth, he knew I was going to deal with it when he made it. What kind of landlord ain't got control over his tenants? It's his building, and he make the rules will go on his building. When he tired, he sets the rent, he sets the light, he sets whatever go on in his building because he's the maker of it. We're just renting our space here on earth. So why would I believe that anything I deal with here is bigger than the one who made everything I'm dealing with while I'm here? I'm trying to be simple as I can. I'm trying to encourage it, but y'all looking around. In other words, everything you going through that seems to be bigger than you, it might be, but it's not bigger than the God who made whatever you're dealing with here on earth. So you mean to tell me that debt is bigger than God who created money? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but I'm worried about something that's the Lord's. Sickness, he hadn't seen sickness before. Your sickness ain't the first sickness recorded in earth. Your Lord made heaven and earth, and he knew you would have some issues while on earth, but that don't stop you from living on earth because your Lord made earth. That's the problem with church folks. We just don't know when to celebrate. It's bigger. He's bigger than your problem. And so why am I so worried about it when the God above who made the earth, if he know the middle, if he know the beginning, he sort of ought to know the end, even though I don't know the end, because he made the beginning and the end when he started. Lord, have mercy. He's the answer. The doctor is just a proponent of your testimony. The loan officer is just a part of your testimony. Just because you get bad news don't mean it's your bad news, because every child of God will still have good news in the midst of bad news. They say I'm going to die, but he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me. He's the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world. My problem and your problem, we going to the wrong folk for the answer. You asking them. And they depending on God just like you are. Just cause your problem publicized don't mean private folk ain't dealing with the same thing. Yours been made public. Deacons, I need y'all to help me preach today. Ain't no difference with a problem, whether it's public or private, it's still a problem.
and stop letting folk who keep their stuff private make you believe there's something wrong with you because you're dealing with a problem. Everybody wake up in the morning, got something going on in their life. Stop putting people on the pedestal. Stop acting like they all that. They depend on God just like you. May not be the same problem, but it's on your neighborhood. Oh, I don't deal with nothing. Well, you ain't dealt with life. Stop going to people who won't tell you they got something wrong, and you go to them because you don't feel like they got nothing wrong. You never go to God for yourself, but you depend on other people to go to God for you. Because you don't feel like you can approach his throne. You ain't got to be no preacher to pray. You ain't got to be no intercessor to pray. All you need is a sincere heart and an humble spirit, and the Lord will hear every prayer you pray. All I can do is pray with you. Lord, have mercy. And we put the ownership on us, as they call it, on other people. But y'all, the big shots, I'm a little shot. And I figured that's what God wanted, because that's what they said. Well, I figured that with him being, you know, why are y'all tripping? Lord, I'm on the air. Why y'all tripping by Trump? America don't belong to God. America never has been God's country. We done a pledge, but we ain't took no oath. One nation under God. See, a lot of folk can say it, but don't mean it. How am I one nation under God and I ain't but three-fifths of a man? Why are y'all tripping off CNN and Fox News? And they only telling you what they want you to know. You better go to God and say, God, what's going on around here? Help me through your word and through your spirit. Let me know. Help me understand what's going on around the atmosphere. I'm not going to keep watching the news, and I'm going to get a rally, and I'm marching up and down, messing with folks that I'm going to need down the road. Y'all keep clowning with the mayor. They didn't want an extension. Keep clowning with somebody you don't need. Where the church is at? 430 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana. I'm trying not to go there. I'm trying my best. I was sick as a dog last Sunday. Y'all just don't understand. This is a powerful moment for me, because Sunday evening, the way I felt, I didn't know if I was gonna be ever stand before y'all again. And the Lord messed around and blessed me and healed me. I'm about to preach son of hell out of y'all now. Showing up. I can't play with y'all no more. And Winfield, y'all better stop playing games. Facebook will get a lot of y'all in a world of trouble. What kind of nut riding around in a flood trying to make folk look bad who dealing with the same flood? What kind of nut is that? Where the church is at, swimming just like you will. You want all, listen, y'all, we mad at Joel Osteen because evacuees, they wouldn't open the doors. But they open them every Sunday, them Negroes won't go in there. Why is it going to take a flood for you to go into the house of the Lord? If you would start going to his house first, some floods wouldn't come about. Because see, if you read the word, if you read the book of Genesis, he will tell you that this ain't the end of the world by no water. He said, I'm going to send flood and a rainbow to remind you of my grace. So when I'm flooding, I ought to at least thank God for his grace. Because even though we're going through a flood, this ain't the end of the world. You better be worried about hell. You better be worried about how hot it is. Global warming. What? We got to go. What churches, I'm just getting this to you because some of y'all ain't going to come back. Churches operate off tithes and offering of the people. If Negroes and some white folk don't come to church and support ministry with money, in times of trouble, how the church going to help you? What the church is doing. See how quiet y'all got here? Which, I have several of our deacons who come and tell me, man, Pastor, they always asking us what we go do. Folks inboxing my deacons, you know, what y'all go do. What can we do? It's our desire to feed everybody hungry in Winfield, but y'all don't give. Where it's gonna come from? We ain't got no garden back there. Ain't no meat packing plant back there. Pilgrim's Pride is in Natchitoches. Ain't over there. We got, on Law Street, we got a whole outreach ministry that's open 8 hours a week. Last flood we had, I'm going to tell it. Last flood we had in spring of last year, we opened those doors every weekday. Y'all didn't want clothes. Y'all wanted that free stuff First Baptist was giving you. You know it's there because you drop off your dirty clothes there all the time. I need Pop to help me tell you where Pop at. And Grandma, let's testify. Some of the stuff they get down there. So y'all know it's there. And stop comparing our flood to what Houston went through. All we need to do is dig out our ditches and trenches better. Them folks was up on their roof. Y'all ain't on no roof. Prayers for Winfield. Prayers. Stop. The Lord spared us. And y'all are thinking that you can breathe and you're above water, you crazy thing. He's the answer. Because he's over heaven and earth, he gonna keep your foot on the ground. Because he will not cause your foot to be moved. You gotta get established though so that your foot can stay somewhere. Reason why some of you are struggling because you won't sit your foot down somewhere. I ain't cuss, I said so you won't sit your foot down somewhere. Your foot. Y'all waiting on it. Y'all waiting on me to cuss. I ain't gonna cuss. I'm trying my best not to. If I do, you're oh well. But I'm trying my best not to cuss. Because it's a passion that God gives you when you see God want to bless you and y'all keep going crazy and don't accept your blessing. It's frustrating to a preacher to see y'all living beneath what you could be living. Ooh, yeah, I might do it. I might, just might. Y'all pray that I don't. But in case I do, I'm going to keep on preaching like I ain't said nothing. He's going to keep your foot steady. Keep you established. Why? Because he's the answer. Because a lot of things come in your life that try to throw you off, knock you off, keep you from your foundation. But it's something about rooted, being rooted and grounded in God. You shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Has anybody else can testify in this house that even though I go through stuff, I still know how to pray? Even I get knocked down on my knees, that's the right posture to go before my Father and have a little talk with him. See, it's a trick of the enemy that the bad guys seem to be prospering and the good guys keep look like they losing. And you and I are determined, we're almost tempted to be one of the bad guys because it seems like it don't pay off doing things God's way. That's why you got to keep your foot planted, because your hand will steady be like this. Y'all missed it. If your foot stay in the Lord, he won't let you go some places you could go. Because if not for the presence of God in my life, I'm going to the pawn shop and give me a gun. See, I'm going to be honest. See, look, listen, y'all, I'm pastor, Holy Ghost, feel anointed. But if not for the grace of God, it's a 38 with some people's name on it. And all of them ain't outside these four walls. I will sometimes set a business meeting off if not for. You better thank God you're in good hands. I need your help, Scooter. I need your help. You're sitting there laughing at me. You better help me, man. That's why God can't help y'all. Y'all won't be real. You think Christians don't get aggravated? Your foot got to be steady in him. So that you being steady in him, you can't go some places, you won't do something, you'll stay planted where you are because you can't afford to be outside of his presence. Because it's going to be very hard to get back in. Yes. I need to tell somebody who's contemplating revenge, don't do it. Yes, you know how to get them back. Yes, you could get them back. Yes, they may not even know, nobody ever trace it, but the Lord knows they ain't worth it. They isn't worth it. They ain't worth it. You want to know your frustration? Is that the Lord had you pray for people who do you low down. Then they start thinking they getting over on you because you praying for them. Imagine this. I'm going to move on. Imagine people having another day based off your prayers. Another day to do you dirty. You pray, they get another day. And instead of them thanking God for another day, they keep doing you dirty. And you, sometimes, you attempted just not even pray for them no more. Tell somebody, he's the answer. Better recognize he's the answer to your problem. Secondly, you're in good hands. You better live a certain way because you can realize that he's always present. Yes, he is. He's an omnipresent God. Listen to him. Look what the psalmist says. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, his people, shall neither slumber nor sleep. He don't get sleepy. He doesn't get tired because he's omnipotent. What's going to make him sleepy? He created sleep. If he go to bed, who hands everything gonna be in? He wouldn't be God if he went to sleep. Don't mistake his silence for him not being active. Oh my God. Don't mistake his silence for him not being active. Ooh, God. Oh Lord. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. You're in good hands. Why are you up all night worried? Listen, he doesn't slumber or sleep. Slumber. He don't have no party. He don't need you to stand up with him. Me and God walked the floor all night long. Why did you do that? I wanted to have a deep preaching point for that, but I don't. Why you did that? What did you prove? Telling the people the next day, child, I put a hole in them slippers. Walking the floor all night long, worried. Now you cranky the next day. Because you ain't had no rest. Now you're compounding your problem. And you think God is appreciative. Thank you, somebody stayed up with me. I was wondering who I could have to stay up with me. God said go to bed. Whether you're on day shift or night shift, I don't know how your work shift go. Go to bed. Because you not getting rest, not putting it in his hands, means that you don't trust him to handle it. What's the point of him being your God? You won't let him be. I just feel like it's hard not to worry. Not when you realize whose hands you in. What has worrying ever got us but more problems? He has never given you a round of applause or a greater blessing because you worried. Sorry. He ain't give you, the Lord bless me with some blood pressure medicine. No, you got that because you wouldn't go to bed. You worrying and stressing about stuff you can't change. And let me say this to you because I love you. Why? Because I love you. Why? Y'all need to say it. Why? Because who? The preacher love you. Y'all ain't know I love you? That's why I talk to you. I love you. Y'all should say I love you too. But I love you. Okay? Listen. Too late now. Now, listen. Listen. You people not go change unless they want to.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yes, now.
That's right.
You sitting up worrying about a child who don't pay you or God no attention. I'm up all night interceding. You can intercede in daylight. Intercession ain't no night prayer. I'm trying to help y'all. I promise I am. Y'all, it's funny, but this is how y'all living. Y'all sitting up all night time, I'm praying. Go to bed. You're supposed to pray all day. You don't need nighttime or a moon or stars to pray. Now, how you gonna pray that God help them, then you running behind them, enabling them? See, y'all don't like this kind of teaching about us, okay? But sometimes jail save them. Because in them cases, I got family members. They locked up. Whew. I'm gonna be honest about mine, because I'm more worried about them when they out. At least I know they had 3 square meals and they can't do nothing stupid. Some of them, when I see them walking, uh-oh. I saw one the other day, oh, Lord, here it come. I'm just being real by mine. Lord, send a deputy. Send a warrant now, Lord. Some of them.
No, you don't want your people in jail. I'm just kidding. But listen, sometimes it does serve them better for their safety and for your sanity. Stop. You need to start sometime. Call it what it is. If you have raised them, we talked to Sean and Warren about it earlier. If you have trained them up the way they should go, what you tripping for? So you tripping, make it look like you ain't done your job. If you done what you supposed to do, you better stop tripping. It said they will not what? Depart from it. Y'all problem is y'all can't handle departing from you. Ooh. You want to be able to look, put your eye on them. Part of them, you raising them for them to be able to do some stuff on their own. That's what's wrong. They done grew up and you can't handle it. Won't let them be grown. They want the Lord to, no, that ain't the Lord, no. Control issues. That's his wife. You're not his wife, you're just his mama. That's her husband. But seem like that you are not being, that ain't your house. I don't know why we went here. I don't know why we went there. I'm sorry. I apologize. If you could spend 6 months minding your business and the other six stand on other people's, you'd have a full productive year. I ain't trying to get in your business. Good. Walk off. That's how you do them. I ain't trying to get in your business. Thank you. Just walk off from them. That way they won't be able to. I'm going to help you not get in my business. He's always present. Look, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Listen, the pilgrims were traveling south. And in traveling south, brothers and sisters, they were headed, the more south they went, the more the sun rose. And it started beating down on them from the east. Sun rises where? In the east. They going south, sun beating down on them. To the right. This is south. I'm not trying to be a geography teacher. I'm just trying to help you. Going south. This is east, so to speak. So they're marching this way, the sun beating down on them, more rise and beat down on them. So the Lord becomes shade where the sun shines. It reminds me of the 46th Psalm where he said, God is a very present help. Oh, Lord. He's a very what? Present help, because there are times in your life where you deal with the oppressive heat of oppression from the enemy. The sun just seems like it's beating down on you, oppressing you, trying to take you out, messing with your mind, messing with your ministry, messing with your faith. And I thank God that even though the sun shines, it beats down, the Lord take away the damage. So that you don't die on your desert experience from heat stroke. Y'all missed that. He becomes your shade. Now, also as they were traveling, if they look to the east, where does the shade come from? Mountains. How is it that the very thing couldn't help you end up blocking what could kill you? Let people persecute you and talk about you. All it's doing is getting you in a place where God can protect you. I'm tired. Listen, he is very present. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The sun oppressed the pilgrims, and it tried to make them tired, dehydrate them, and break them down. Then at night, it was believed that the moon messed with their head. Because why do folk, that's where it come from, by people worrying about a full moon? That's where it come from. Because a moon is called a lunar. And that's where you see the term lunatic come from. Yeah.
because it meant that it came from the moon, make folk crazy. I'm trying to teach this thing so y'all won't be ignorant. That's where you see lunar, that's where lunatic, it comes from the lunar saying that the moon make folk crazy. Now y'all need to be real about some stuff to try to make you go crazy. Lord have mercy. It's hot in day, cool at night in this region. That mess you up. Because how can I be hot one moment, then cold the next? My body never gets a chance to adjust to the climate change. One minute people love me, next minute they stab me in the back. Skinned and grinning in my face while it's daytime, nighttime, they're killing my character. And if you're not careful, that'll mess with your... Oh, Lord. He says, you're in good hands because you got to realize that I'm always present. I see and hear everything they're saying and doing. You just got to trust me to handle them. Stop letting your problem drive you crazy. Put it in the proper perspective. It's an issue. Listen, stop making what you're dealing with temporarily have permanent ramifications. Stop saying ain't no God and God don't love me just cause you're dealing with something right now. Cause you feel mighty shame when you come out of it. Have you ever acted a plumb fool and the Lord brought you out and you look back, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I cuss? Just let me die, God. Let me die. Just leave me out here and let me die. Let me die. And time you get a hiccup. Oh, God. No, I ain't mean. I was just playing. All these folks who say, you know, I can't make it without you at the funeral. Don't leave me. Don't go. Let me go. Push them in there and see if they stay. See, don't they try to climb out of the hole as quick as they can? How God helped them encourage their heart and they come on out of the hole, don't they? Stop letting lunatics and lunacy mess your head up. Oh, I want to go with him. I can't make it by myself. You go right to the repast and you eat every piece of chicken, every spoonful of potato salad, four or five slices of cake, but you can't make it without him. Please. And come back and raise hell behind some flowers. I had a stand that had it was a stand for my class. But you messed up. You want to die. God trying to help y'all. Y'all. Take me to the king. Yeah. The repass. Lord, sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Sunstroke nor moonstroke shall destroy me. Brothers and sisters, you're in good hands today. You ought to appreciate the fact that you're in good hands. When you recognize that he's the answer to your problem and that he's always present. And then lastly, you ought to rejoice in knowing his ability to preserve you. His ability to preserve you. Verse 7 said, the Lord shall, it's a promise word, Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Evil will come in your life. Evil works, evil deeds will take place, but the Lord will keep you. That's all it means. That's all preserving means. It will keep you. Don't mean you won't deal with it, but it means the Lord will keep you. Thou will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on them. You've got to appreciate the fact that you are preserved. He keeps you protected from doing worse danger to yourself.